Hey, what an awesome gathering. We're under legal limits, are we? Yep, we are. All socially distanced and keeping everything under control. Yep, that's what I like to see. Just so long as you can reach the person next to you is fine, because if they go to sleep, you've got to be able to give them a, you know, so. God is good, isn't he? Absolutely good. And, you know, we're lovely to get together and see you all and catch up and finally start to begin to interact a little more than we have, but we're not sure when it's all going to come back together again. We were hoping today would have been day one of a new era, but we'll wait and see how it all pans out. But let's commit this time to the Lord for a start. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for being so good to us. You're our guide, you're our protector, you're our strength, you're our help, you're our health, you're our healing. And you're just so much more than that. You're our dad. And because of you being our dad, we want to acknowledge that today. That Father, we treasure you. We honor you. We're amazed by you. Again, we stand in awe of you for your goodness and your grace and your love and your undergirding strength that upholds us. And like your word says, underneath are the everlasting arms. And thank you so much, Lord God, for all that you are to each and every one of us. And in each situation we find ourselves in, you are there for us. Thank you for being the great I am. And you show yourself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards you. So today, Lord God, we lay our hearts bare before you to be open and honest and straight out, saying, God, if you need to touch us, lead us, guide us, or whatever, in any way, we're here and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. So good, so good. It's funny how I get here today and Kerry brings up a song out of the archives of yesteryear, but I've had a song on my heart as well. And none of you would probably know it because it goes back a long way if Lexi can rattle the keys. But I'll teach it to you. And I know Lick and Kerry can help me with it because they're both well versed in this song. But it's very simple. Very, very simple. And it's a song that comes back to me every now and then when I find my day hasn't been starting off the way I want it to. And I'll sing it. I'll give you the verses, the two verses. Lord, before my day begins, I just want to say one thing. I just want to tell you that I love you. Lord, before my day begins, I just want to say one thing. I just want to tell you that I love you. Now that's the first verse. The second verse is like it, which goes like this. Lord, before my day is done, I just want to praise your son. I just want to tell you that I love you. Lord, before my day is done, I just want to praise your son. I just want to tell you that I love you. Now, the verses are in between and at the end, goes with a little, we don't have a microphone for Lek or Kerry. You want to get a microphone and do the hallelujah bit? Can you do that? See how it goes. Get both of you doing it, maybe. But the chorus has a little refrain that just goes, the men sing, praise God, praise God, praise the Lord, praise God, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Actually, the women in the last one go, hallelujah. But it's the women are doing an echo to the men's praise God. And it's hallelujah, praise, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so the women are singing to the guys are singing, praise God, praise God, hallelujah. When the men are singing, praise the Lord. Is that simple or is that too confusing? It sounds good, but Lord, before my day begins, what an amazing way to start a day. I just want to tell you that I love you. And it's not just God needs to hear that. We need to remind ourselves as well that God's on our side. We love him. We're in his hands. And it's a great way to begin a day. And also then, Lord, before my day is done, I just want to praise your son. I think it doesn't matter what sort of a day you have. Good, bad, ugly, wonderful, indifferent, whatever it is, don't let the day put you to bed with all of its worries and traumas. Go to bed and go to night. Cut the day out with, Lord, before my day is done, I just want to praise your son. I just want to tell you that I love you. You can be seated, you can stand, you can do what you like. But let's go through this a couple of times. Thanks, Lick. Lord, before my day begins, I just want to say one thing. I just want to tell you that I love you. Lord, before my day begins, I just want to say one thing. I just want to tell you that I love you. Praise God, praise God, praise the Lord, praise God, praise God, praise the Lord. We get that, Lord, before my day be. Lord, before my day is done, I just want to praise your son. I just want to tell you that I love you. Lord, before my day is done, I just want to praise your son. I just want to tell you that I love you. Praise God, praise God, praise the Lord, praise God, praise God, praise the Lord. We'll do it again in a moment. Such an amazing little chorus. It was actually written by an Australian guy named Len McGee, who came out of the hippie era. And he penned quite a few songs that I sing quite a lot still. And we used to sing them when our children were little as a family, growing up, going out. And we used to tour Victorian country churches. And the Lethborg family were well known as a bit of a travelling Wilbury sort of a scenario, I think. But and Kerry, I've got her singing when she was so young. The first time she ever sung live in church, what were you, 18 months? In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Never forgotten that. So good. But Len McGee then became after he got radically saved, became a pastor. And still ministers up in Queensland, up on the along the Gold Coast region there, somewhere on the hinterland with a church there. So just an amazing little chorus. So Lord, before my day begins, I just want to say one thing. I just want to tell you that I love you. That's a great way to start a day. Did anyone have anything to share around communion before we start off? Would be great just to... That's fine. Anyone got a testimony? I'm hanging on for Winneka to share with us, but I would love to have done it today if everyone was here. But that's such a good story. Everyone's got to hear it. But do you want to tell it today? Only if you got a microphone, because it has to go over on the airwaves. Well, you're going to take communion in a minute, so we'll take care of your nose. All right. Fine. Well, look, we're going to come around this amazing celebratory feast of the Lord's table. Kerry, you want to hand that out, please? And just remember what I've been talking on lately. It has absolutely done my head in a way. I keep thinking of this same principle where Jesus said, if you eat and drink, you do show the Lord's death. And God really opened my eyes to see that it wasn't just in the actual celebratory taking that we're showing his death. It is actually to take upon us the whole of this new covenant outpouring of his precious blood, and that our lives then show his death because of who we are in this world. We're a new creature. We're a whole peculiar people. Some people think I'm peculiar for a different reason, but I'm a peculiar people because God says so, amen? And I want to stand out as a peculiar person. I want to stand out in a world that expects normality and expects compliance and expects everything else. I want to stand out as a peculiar person showing the Lord's death till he comes, showing who he is in my life. And it's amazing how many people, just sort of talking with Steve out there, that are getting so caught up in the hysteria of the moment. But the peace of God that passes all understanding keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and protects and preserves us for his glory, amen? And this is where showing the Lord's death becomes a reality. This is where it's, how come you don't get stressed over this situation? How come you're not getting stressed? I'm in God's hands. Lek and I, a year ago, sold half of our business. And the people that have bought it are doing exceptionally well. And we were beginning to think, boy, have we cut off our arm and how are we going to survive? The other half is now as busy what it was when we had both. If we still had both facets of that business, we could not cope. Over the last 2 weeks, I think Lek and I have spent 90% of our days at work between 7 and 11 at night, just fulfilling orders that have come in. And we're sitting there saying, God, you are so amazing. God, you're our provider. You're our sustenance. You're our strength. You're all we need. And we could have sat back and looked at it in the natural and thought, wow, we've just given away half of our income or more. And God has made sure it really hasn't depleted too much at all. And we've still only got half the business. God is amazing. God is so good. God knows. And in a time when things are supposed to be on a downturn, goodness me. What if it turns up again? Like, we're in trouble. We got a God who'll provide. Amen. And he did that through his broken body and his shed blood, providing for us a new covenant. And you know, in the old covenant, there were so many benefits and blessings, but it was so conditional. And there was a promise in the old covenant that God said, your shoes shall be iron and brass. What on earth would you need iron and brass shoes for? But the metaphor or the illustration there is you got tough shoes in order to take on a tough walk. Your shoes shall be iron and brass, and as your day is, so shall your strength be. See, God's not going to pour out a huge abundance of strength when you've got a fairly easygoing day. He'll give you sufficient strength for the day at hand. But then if your day is a pressure day, he says, okay, you need a bit of more. As your day is, so will your strength be. Well, if that can be an old covenant promise, how much more? How much more is the new covenant a better covenant for a greater provision of God than they had then? And then it also says, and underneath, oh, I love this part, are the everlasting arms. Whew. Girded by God himself. Wow. And if we can walk in the light of this amazing new covenant, then you've got a greater strength for a greater day. Amen. You've got the undergirding of God's amazing love and his everlasting arms that provide for us. And that is showing the Lord's death in reality till he comes. That's the life that we are partaking of. And so as we take this bread and this cup now, we are reminding ourselves, we're not reminding God, we're not having to remind him of what the covenant is. We are reminding ourselves that this broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ, this shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only preserves us and took away the effect of sin that the world is totally swamped in and redeemed us from death and gave us life, but it also gives us the daily provision of God to live in, walk in, portray, and receive and be a part of constantly. We've got to trust him for that though. We've got to put ourselves in his hands and recognize it. And as you take this bread today and as you drink this cup, remind yourself of the ongoing provision of God. That scripture in the Old Testament, I don't care whether it was under the old covenant regime, I think of it so often. I do. I really, really, really do. That my shoes are iron and brass. Regardless of how tough the walk is I'm facing, I've got God's provision there. And also, and I've got his strength to guide me through every day. And I've also got the undergirding of his everlasting arms. Oh, wow. Wow. And I remind myself of the amazing outpouring of love, life, peace, and joy, and mercy and grace that this covenant provides for us to walk in this crazy world. Father, thank you so much for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the amazing provision through Calvary that you made available to us. Thank you for the access to the throne of grace that we can come to and find help in time of need. Thank you for the great and precious promises you've given us that we can walk in through this amazing outpouring of life that you gave us through Jesus and through his shed blood. Thank you for the better covenant, this new covenant that we walk in. I pray, Holy Spirit, you teach us how to walk in it, how to walk in it in reality, how to show it, how to portray it, and how to let this world realize that we are portraying the Lord's death in our daily living till he comes. Thank you for the broken body and the shed blood. Let's eat together now in Jesus' name. And the cup, Jesus actually said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Don't miss out on any of it. Drink. Not just physically drink it all, but partake of it all. Find out. Research it. Find out what it's all about and drink all of it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Oh. You wonder why I get excited about God, eh? You wonder why I get emotional. You wonder sometimes why I stand in awe of him. As I look at his word and I see the amazing provision of God that's available to us all. And I'm so grateful. I'm so, so grateful to him. How can I help but get up of a day, Lord, before my day begins? Because his mercies are new every morning. Yeah. That's so good. It's so good. Glory to God. Now, this week was pretty incredible. There's a lot going on between the ACC ministers, pastors, leadership, and that's the Australian Christian churches that we're a part of. But this week, Shane Baxter, who's a Victorian superintendent, and from down at the Maidstone Church, put out a little video clip talking about the scenario that a lot of pastors are finding themselves in. Now, I don't find myself in that situation at all. I don't know why, but some people have obviously got, that's their whole life. They're full-time, they work for the church, they function for the church, and they are paid by the church, and they live totally in that realm of church living. So their job is their church. And there's nothing wrong with that. If their church is able to accommodate that and it's big enough to do that, awesome. But the level of discouragement where people have not had their church functioning every day, where in some instances people are struggling financially because they've had to depend on offerings and things being taken up, and it really has created a lot of trauma. And Shane put out an amazing message, and it was from the scripture that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And he said, we all thought we were getting back into a realm of church normality with an increase in numbers and an ability to meet a little more and everything. And all of a sudden, unlike the rest of Australia, Victoria gets slammed shut again. And there's a lot of discouragement amongst a lot of people. And because of that, their hope in getting back to normality has created a problem. But he said, don't lose your hope. Hope deferred, putting it off, oh, maybe, or if, but maybe it's not happening, whatever, will actually deplete the life in your heart. Not your pumping heart. I'm not talking about the blood pump. I'm talking about the heart of man, who's the heart of every man and woman. That's the inner you, the inner me, that creates our life. That's the engine room of who we are, what we say, what we do, how we think, our hopes, our dreams and aspirations and everything all come from that inner self that is really important to us. And that's the area that the Bible is talking about. It says if you let that down and become discouraged and you become anxious over things and you become depleted in your faith or your hope, how traumatic would that be, or is that? And it's so important to keep that at a level that God says, my hope is in Him. My hope is not in church starting again. My hope is not in getting back to normality. Yes, I want to see things like that happen where people have been put out and situations have been difficult and harsh and hard for so many. And definitely we want to see answers come back into their lives. And thank God for the amount of people that are now searching God out. They're looking for an answer beyond this world. And there have been many, many, many people getting online and listening to Christian broadcasts or watching Christian television, looking for answers and writing in or acknowledging that they need God to help them, which is just so important in a day like this and in an age like this. So if the church isn't walking in a positive hope, what hope would the world have in picking it up from the church? We've got to run at a level that is, you know, full bore and hey, why be anxious? Why aren't you anxious? Have you got an answer if someone says that to you? How come you're not affected by, how come you're not getting traumatized over what's going on? What is it about you that keeps your normality and your sanity? Do they ask you those questions? Do they even see that in us? They need to, because we need to be at buzz level and show the world that there's a hope beyond what the world provides. Amen? And we can't allow ourselves to be taken up by the negativity and the traumas of life and allow it to make our heart, quote, sick, as the Bible says. It cannot be part and parcel of who we are. It's too important for our lives to portray our trust and faith and hope that's in God. And it must be kept at a high level, ebbing fully, fully functional. You know, there's another scripture that says, guard your heart or keep your heart with all diligence. Now, keeping your heart is interesting, because the word keep is preserve, guard, provide for, and nourish. It's all in that particular framework. And some translations say guard your heart, others say keep. But it's so important to preserve that inner sanctum where God is dealing with us and where our life is generated from. And it needs to be generated from the life of God. And the Bible says to guard it. Well, how do we guard our heart with all diligence? There's that word diligence. Diligent perseverance. Isn't that interesting? You know, you take words apart sometimes and you realize what they're actually saying. And someone's coined the phrase diligence from diligent perseverance. And that word is important in Christian life, because diligence is encouraged in so many aspects of Scripture to be persevering, to be diligent in all things. And Paul encourages it, others encourage it through the Scriptures to hold on fast to our profession of faith without wavering, without, you know, ooh, what happens? Ooh, nobody, ooh. We get all into the negativity of what ifs. The what ifs don't come into the faith life. The what ifs shouldn't even be there. The what ifs are there for people who have no hope, you know? And the Bible tells us that we are not to be as people who have no hope. We are to be people with a hope and a future and a plan that God's got for us. Can we just move on? Because we really need to know the hope of God that preserves us and keeps us, sustains us. That's the love of God in our hearts, shed abroad in our hearts. That heart of man. And if we take it from the natural perspective, the heart of man, the Bible tells us, is full of deceit. It's actually corrupt. It's actually wicked in its natural state without Christ. It has a fallen state. It's in a state of sin. It's in a state of without God, having no hope, and without God in this world is people with a lesser capacity to guard their heart. They can't. It's impossible because of no relationship with God. But the people who have a relationship with God have a guarded or a capacity to guard, keep, preserve, feed their heart. I would suggest guarding it would be the shield of faith is one thing. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God is paramount in having faith as a shield. But there's a hedge of protection around us that people talk about. There's, I would suggest, with the word of God in our lives, that the more of the word we have in, it would be like a solid, guarded fencing or protection around us, that when there is some form of negativity, when our mind starts to go crazy, and we do sometimes, and the Bible says we've got to bring our mind into subjection. We've got to cast down imaginations and high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And if we don't do that, we're not guarding our heart, because we're feeding our heart the wrong stuff. We're feeding the inner man the negativity. We're feeding the inner man of depleted, you know, nutrition. We can't do that. We need to take the word of God as a strong part of our lives, absorbing it, devouring it, having a hunger for it, having an intake that is regular. We should be more regular with our word intake than we are with our food intake. None of us will miss a meal, amen? Who likes fasting? You like fasting? Yeah, there's a peculiar sometimes I'll miss a meal, but very rarely. It's not because I like it or I've planned to. I love my food. And well, God made food for us, so I want to be his engine room, amen? Look, honestly, if we're going to starve our spirit man and put him on a strict diet or a fasting program because we're not taking in the word of God, then that's making the heart sick. That's failing to guard our hearts. That's failing to put up a hedge of protection around ourselves. That's failing to be preserving of what God's placed in there and keep it at its fullest potential to work for Him. So, hope deferred. Don't put off your hope regardless of what's going on. Don't put off your hope. And people that sometimes get prayed for and they don't see an instant healing, they think, oh, it didn't happen. No. Healing always comes. We just don't always receive. That's the problem. And so they end up throwing their hope away because it didn't happen instantly. But I don't see anywhere in the scripture where healing is instant. Miracles? Yes. But when people pray for you for healing, go away with a hope that healing is happening. Your body is receiving new life. Your body is being restored. You're being made whole through the blood of the Lamb and through the healing power of our God. And if we don't have that attitude, we are putting our hope into a deferred position. We're deferring it. Oh, I'll have to wait till I get prayed for next time. No. How many times you need to be prayed for to receive healing? Once. But you just don't receive it because your hope gets deferred because it didn't happen instantly. That is the problem with so many situations where things are let go of. We can't do that. We've got to trust God implicitly. And we walk out in the name of Jesus and you feel like you've still got the symptoms. You say, you symptoms, you bow your knee to the name of Jesus. I was prayed for today with a prayer of faith. The Bible tells me the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And I was sick and now I'm being healed in Jesus' name. I receive that healing. It's mine. It belongs to me. It was provided at Calvary. And I'm not allowing any lying symptom or any symptom that's lingering to take control of that and defer my hope. My hope is in the fact that God has healed me. We can stand, amen. And having done all, stand, the Bible says. It doesn't say whimper and fall apart and crunch out and look at symptoms. It says stand. Stand. And standing is not easy. Standing is not something that comes natural to us. Having done all, stand. Stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And it goes on. And what's the next one that says? There's another part of the armor that talks about the profession of our faith. People forget that last bit, which I just did. Terrible, but I wasn't prepared to do this. This is just all coming through inspiration of what my heart is telling me to share on. And I got a lot of notes here and I'm not using them because I just feel God wants me to share this in this format. But it's so, so important. Guard our hearts with all diligence. Is your heart guarded? Is your heart kept? Is your heart protected? Is your inner man preserved? Have you given him enough nourishment to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might? Amen. Has it been there? Is it there? It's nothing is more discouraging than to see Christians lose hope or lose their faith because it then takes their whole demeanor. Their inner person becomes, the Bible says sick, but becomes depleted, becomes let down. They somehow let themselves down because they just get this deflated capacity about them. And you ask them how they are and it's all like, oh, I'm okay under the circumstances. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? My God raises you up. So the circumstances, it says we are to rule and reign with him. We will reign in life by one, by Christ Jesus. And why are we letting circumstances dictate our situation, our feelings and our form? We need to be strong in the Lord. Hope deferred will let us down and make our heart weakened. Let's ensure we never do. Let's guard our heart with all diligence. For out of it, the heart, are all the issues of life. And if life is going to be a life we're reigning in, living for God, showing his life and light and glory, the guarded heart is the important first step to ensure that that is never ever depleted from what God wants it to be. Praise God. He's so good. So good. Lord, before my day is done, I just want to praise your son. I just want to tell you that I love you. Lord, before my day is done, I just want to praise your son. I just want to tell you that I love you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Father, we stand right now in the name of Jesus, determined to guard our hearts. I pray for every person who's heard this message in the name of Jesus across the airwaves, that their hearts will be strengthened and guarded. Lord, you'd give them insight by your Holy Spirit on preservation, protection, and the way that you've provided a new covenant of reality living that brings all the resources of heaven into being for each and every one of us. Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus for your life to permeate every person that we know in this church and in your church across this land, that Father God, there would be a hope that is not deferred, a hope that is real, a hope that is steadfast and sure, as your word says, a hope that cannot be shaken, glory to God, a hope that is in our God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our hope and our trust is in you in this place today and in this church today. And we thank you for being a God who is so faithful, so faithful. And we receive all you have for us. Father, I pray this word would just take root and grow in our lives, cause us to be far more diligent in the preservation of our heart, that we keep it and guard it and feed it your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Wow, I've turned off, Matt.